Hello and welcome to the Spirit Talk podcast, where we'll talk all things spiritual. I'm your host and the creator of the podcast, Brandy Bolton. Join me at looking at spirituality from many different angles. There will be no stone left unturned, from science and spirit to topics that some may call woo-woo. I will also discuss my own experiences as a developing psychic and medium. This podcast is for all the seekers out there, and I sincerely hope you enjoy. Hello, beautiful souls. It's me, Brandy Bolton. I'm literally in shock that it's been 3 whole weeks since I put out an episode. I will do my absolute best not to let that happen again. It's been a busy year so far in 2023. I am here for it. I'm loving this energy this month. It's amazing. Luckily for me, so many listeners have been reaching out to connect in other ways. Even though there hasn't been a podcast episode yet this year, I feel so connected to you guys. And, you know, a few of us have been chatting on Instagram. I love that. More of you have joined our small but mighty Facebook group, Spirit Talk a Soul Tribe. Links to both of those things in the show notes. I've done readings for about 4 listeners already this year and have learned so much through them. So it's been pretty amazing in this little soul tribe, even though there hasn't been an episode out yet. But today, there's a new episode. Hello! So good to talk to you guys. So good to be on the mic. And I have a guest. Ty and I have been buddies online for some time, years in fact. And this chat really is us getting to know each other a bit better. We started as Instagram buddies and left as true friends. In this conversation, we found out just how much we have in common, including maybe a spirit guide? Question mark. So yeah, there's that. I'm still thinking about that because we actually talked a few days ago for this. I've been sitting on this and I had to mix the sound together and I just carved out time today to do that. So thank you so much for tuning in. Without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Ty Campbell. We've been kind of Instagram friends for a while, but we've never really connected.
It's funny because I add people that I feel connected to, but even though there's no physical connection face to face, you know who you jive with and you can feel it off the bat. Mm-hmm. So you are one of those people. You and I feel are connected.
Yeah, I think so too. It's so good to see you.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know we were speaking briefly about what should we chat about and we're just going to shoot it off the bat kind of vibe. And this morning, I don't know if you saw my post, I was talking about energy and our own energy and others' energy and how we separate them. Now,
beautiful. Let's go with it.
Yeah. Okay. So I work in retail. So I've got my spiritual side and that's the love of my life, right? But I also work the retail business and I've worked hospitality. And it's the engaging with people. I find it so, I just enjoy seeing people. I do. I mean, trust me, there are some moments where I'm like, oh, this job is quite taxing on me. And I've always realized it comes down to the connection I have with people. In retail, I really enjoy connecting with the person and kind of understanding them on a deeper level. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty important for the job I do to kind of read between the lines, because a lot of people, they struggle to express themselves in a way that people get them. So I guess my little secret power, so to be, is I can kind of read them on a different level than most people in retail. Now, the tricky part comes in when you have to try and shut that off. So, for example, if someone walks in and they're looking for X, Y, Z, I kind of know exactly how their place looks already. I work in furniture. Okay. So I've got this like kind of a mental imprint of how I see their space. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like I need a validation from them. So sometimes I'll go like a little bit deeper, open myself up a little bit more. But with that, you don't always know what you're going to get. Which mm-hmm. can also be if they've got like anxiety with something, if they've had a bad morning, or if they just got some good news, whatever it might be. good or bad, you're going to get it all. Because you try and filter through that. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tricky. Now, I know yourself with reading, you probably do the same, right? Because the more open we are, the more we can actually get the, I guess, the messages in.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it's the same kind of vibe, right? And for me, I've burnt my fingers. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I've mastered this and I've mastered that. I'm the biggest student of life still. And the only way that I get to learn about this is by experiencing it firsthand. So I know, maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I need to change my approach this way. And that's, I think it's really important. Energy etiquette, I'd say.
Yes, exactly. So that's amazing. So you are using your intuitive and empath and psychic abilities, let's call it what it is, in your everyday life, in your retail job even. And so you're kind of walking this fine line of how open should I be? Should I have really, really, really strict boundaries? Or do I need to sometimes open up a little bit, like, for example, to help the customer or the client to get what they want and have a, you know, satisfactory experience with you in your job? Do you find that sometimes you are not walking that line very well? And how does that feel?
Yes. So it's a constant learning curve for myself. And even in my day-to-day life, we all have these ideas of how we should behave. We should eat better. We should exercise. And it's the exact same way energetically. I mean, I've read so many books, listened to so many audio tapes or CDs, podcasts, whatever it might be nowadays. And I feel like I've got the knowledge there, but it's the wisdom that will keep it there, if that makes sense. So we might all be well aware of it. And for myself, I'm still constantly learning. A good example of that is just the other day at work, and I'm getting incredibly anxious. It was like a week ago on Sunday. And I was like, what is happening? Why do I feel anxious? So now instantly I'm like, okay, is this my anxiety? So I'm checking who's working with me and which clients are in the store. I'm like, nope, I don't think it's anyone here. So it turns out, long story short, something wasn't right. I went on the Schumann Resonance app. I don't know if you know that, with the Earth's magnetic field.
Schumann Resonance, yep.
Exactly. That was so out of whack. And it's not the high peaks, it's the high peaks and the dips that throw me off. And I know that. I'm very much aware that that could have been it, but it wasn't in my right then and there, because I guess I wasn't thinking about it. So having this energy etiquette, which probably is like a habit you need to form, is building that white light or gold light around you, you know, cocooning yourself and keeping your energy safe. So even if there are these external factors, be it physical right there, or even in a universal kind of a experience, I think having your, I don't want to say guard up, because that does sound almost like you're expecting something negative, but just being more mindful of how open you are as an energy being.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's my lesson that I've learned.
It's so funny that you mentioned that Schumann Resonance that particular day. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I felt it as well. And then I don't know why it came to my awareness that that's what it was. I think an account that I follow who talks about the different spikes and stuff like that a lot came up on my feed when I was scrolling, and I was like, this is why. So when you felt that day at work and you became aware, oh, okay, there's a lot going on with our magnetic field and the sun and all this going on, and maybe that's what is causing my anxious feeling, did it then dissipate because you kind of knew what was happening?
Absolutely. So that's the great thing. And I'm that human being, a sensitive soul. I've gone through the whole, you know, the youth anxiety, depression, the whole shebang. So I'm very much conscious of it. And what I've realized is a lot of general anxiety, and I'm not dismissing anxiety at all. Anxiety is a big thing in everyone's life. I can, you know, little pieces here and there or major events, etc. But I find for me, my general anxiety is the second I can pinpoint what it is, it tends to take the sharpness away from it. I can still feel it, but it takes away the unknowing, which kind of fuels the anxiety.
Right.
So absolutely, to answer your question, the second I figured out what it was, I felt it dissipate quite a bit for myself.
Amazing. I feel the same way. And whether it is that day, it was the Schumann resonance, but another day, it could be when you're at work that actually you're tuning into somebody. Like you said, you went to check around who's here. And so has that happened to you where you've experienced like, oh, this person just lost their mother or whatever, and you find out and you were actually picking that up because you're walking around quite open?
I do. Again, I should know better. So not to play the whole ego card where I beat myself up, but it's always, I look at life as a constant lesson, and I always try and find the lesson with everything, be it good or be it bad. But I constantly want to learn. I'm a natural learner. So I find, besides the joy and the wisdom that I can find within it, I constantly feel that growing myself and making others aware of it helps them to grow at the same time. I'm a little bit more conscious at work. I do wear my certain crystals, which help keep me and remind me to keep my barrier and boundaries up from time to time. There's other times, for example, I went into our local Shoppers Drug Mart. And this is actually after a very deep meditation. And just walking through there, I could feel every single story that I walked past. And I can assure you, a drug mart of any sort, be it CVS or Shoppers or London Drugs, wherever someone might be mentally or physically ill, that is not the place you want to have your energy open at all. It was such a learning curve for me. But yeah, I think, being a psychic medium, you pick up on people's energies. That's what makes you, in my opinion, it makes you good with receiving messages, is that you're open. It's just knowing when to be open and how to shut that off when needed.
And you talked about surrounding yourself in gold and white light. Talk a little bit more about that. And is that how you kind of boundary yourself energetically?
It is. So for myself, I've got a Reiki background. It was my first introduction into energy, I guess, formally. I was 16 when I did that. And I do use a lot of, symbols mentally from that to help ground me, especially Raku with the severing of energies. So that helps ground me. I try and recognize that I'm a spiritual being having this human experience, but a lot of time my boundaries that I set are of a very spiritual nature. So I know a lot of my family and friends would probably disagree, and they say, you know, I can be quite in the physical time and like verbalize my boundaries quite clearly. But a lot of times I do keep my shields or my guards, again, not enjoying using that word, but I do protect myself in that way. I call upon angels if I feel like I'm in a scenario that's not physical, but it's more like a spiritual attack of sorts. I do call on angels and archangels to help protect me during that time. Archangel Michael is definitely a being that I do connect with a lot when I am needing to put those extra shields up. But from an everyday-to-day basis, I feel like cocooning myself in a white or gold light just helps protect me and also protect others, because I'm not always 100% elevated and good mood, and something might be happening in my personal life, and having this human experience, I just am who I am. So I don't want someone else to pick up on my feelings or my negativity or anxiety or anything that might be negative. I don't want to get those out as well. So,
I love that you said that. I feel like a lot of empath people who I identify themselves as empaths, and that's most people who are listening to Spirit Talk. Sometimes I feel like people who call themselves empaths almost use that as an excuse, like, "Oh, I'm energy sick," or "I'm just so drained," or "I can't help but feel everything in the room." And it's like, okay, if you're feeling that like that, also your stuff is going out. It's like in and out. If there's no barrier there or boundary, and I don't like the word guard for it either, but it is kind of, I see what you mean there. But imagine for the listeners, imagine like a shell around you with a little beautiful golden shell. If that isn't there, all your crap is going out too, right? So it's like,
absolutely.
okay, you can't really complain because you're the one having bad boundaries.
Exactly that. It's, we are all having this human experience. That's why we on Earth, we have agreed to this. And not to go too far into that, but I agree fully. You get lots of mightier than thou type spiritual people who think that they are the light and that they are everything. And you know what? If your confidence is great like that, all the power to you. But the reality is that at the end of the day, we are experiencing different lessons. We are experiencing ups. We are experiencing downs. That's why we are here. And I don't want to add any of my downs to other people's energy if I can avoid it. It's not their lesson to learn, it's mine. And I think we're all responsible. And yes, we do have weaknesses. I do slip up and I don't put my shell up. I like the word shell. That sounds great. But it's something that we need to be more mindful of. I think especially as a community, we do want to showcase that we are love and light. And I think that is important, but we are also human and we're not better than the person who's on a different journey.
So, and that brings me to something that I find often, especially in the beginning stages of people's spiritual awakening, the ego really kicks in. And I know that people think of a spiritual awakening as, okay, you're supposed to be losing your ego. But I get, well, I have observed in myself, in my own journey, and in other people that when they first kind of click in to this spiritual path and understand that they are more than this 3D world and all this, sometimes they get on this ego trip, like, oh, I just get it. I get it now. And they feel better than so many other people who aren't maybe escaping the 3D world like they are now. They feel like they have a secret that nobody else knows. Have you observed that as well? Or did you go through that?
Absolutely. So I started to feel that way because it's, again, we're a spiritual being in a human body. So we're going to have these emotions that are very human and these characteristics and traits that do come up. Because to try and shed that isn't, it's not a part of our journey because those can be our biggest teachers. I've always said that our ego is our best teacher. As weird as that might sound, it's not to ever get rid of your ego. You don't want to do that, but you want to learn from it. The lessons that our ego can teach us are really, really tricky. Some are trickier than others. And I feel for a lot of us, I'm not speaking for everyone, but at least for my journey, is that when I had my monumental moment again, because I've had my spiritual awakening a few times, it's a slippery slope. The universe isn't cruel by any stretch of measure, but it is trying to teach you lessons. This is a part of your contract for being down on Earth. And when you feel like you know what's happening and you think you've got everything sorted out, it's a slippery slide back down into the previous stage, right? So I think getting overly confident with who you are as a spiritual being is a part of the grand lesson. And yes, it's part of another lesson where I think you'll slide back down and start to learn again. I think we get so excited after feeling so lost before this awakening. and having the awakening and finally feel like you found who you are and who you're meant mm-hmm. to be, that sometimes again it can activate these human desires and these human pieces of wanting to be recognized by others. And that can be a really, I don't want to say dangerous, but a really tricky thing to navigate, because we are going to experience that. We can acknowledge that, but that's our lesson. We don't have to shove it in other people's faces. We don't have to. Everyone's got their own path and their own timeline.
Right.
And I feel like the secret to staying, I guess, with the wave is by just accepting others' differences. So if they're not on that spiritual pathway, the same place as where you are, that's okay. There's mm-hmm. people ahead of you and there's people behind you. Mm-hmm. It's not a race, it's an experience. And we're so lucky to be going through this experience that I'm constantly feeling truly blessed every single day, even if it's a crappy day mm-hmm. or a good day. I'm just grateful that I'm here to have these experiences.
I feel that so much in my heart too. And wherever I am, I do manage to have some kind of gratefulness, some level of appreciation for this experience, because it is very special. And I know, I have a knowing that when I am out of this body and back to a soul level or an individual consciousness, I will feel like, wow, I did that on purpose. I lived as Brandi Bolton on purpose. And, you know, it was like a blink of an eye. And I don't want to have regrets of why didn't you have more appreciation for this while you were experiencing it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because your process is going to be different now. We've got our vibe tribe and we've got people that we connect with. And I know a lot of us recently, especially with social media, we're surrounding ourselves with people that we resonate with. Mm-hmm. But I find in my everyday life, a lot of people are sometimes opposite that, mm-hmm. which reminds me that I'm still a student and I'm still learning from them. And I guess I could be a teacher to them and they're probably still learning from me. So again, being on this different pathway, even though we've got our vibe tribe and we feel like we connected to so many on a spiritual level, I do feel like there's that the other tribe that might not be on the same vibe level yet or on this lifetime, but I feel like it's all part of the big puzzle that we are building.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just shows that we're all connected. And
absolutely.
There is a level of being humble that we have to embody while we're in our power. So it is, again, a fine line.
Agree. Absolutely. Yeah. It's now out of, do you have any practices for yourself that keeps your energy protected? What do you do?
I do self-Reiki a lot.
Okay, nice.
I like to clear my energy field and check in with my chakras and just do my own thing. I don't have any rhyme or reason to it really, but I do sit alone for about 15 minutes a day doing that. And it's also a meditation kind of at the same time. I also sit to meditate fairly often. I feel like that just gives such a clarity and a recentering, and everything seems to just be in a better perspective after meditation. Problems seem less and the good, beautiful things seem more vibrant. So that is a consistent part of my spiritual practice. I do often just dabble in other things. You know, I also wear crystals for grounding as well. I do my cards and I do, you know, whatever I feel like. But those two things, the Reiki, like the energy work and the meditation, have to be pretty consistent for me to feel good. If I'm not doing those things, I'm like a totally different human.
Right. Absolutely. It's yeah. Amazing. I do find it's definitely a practice that, again, trying to find time for it is also that lesson. You know, it's so funny. There's lessons every way and everywhere you look. But that's beautiful. The Reiki incorporating that. You know, it's funny because I've got Reiki as that background, but I seldom do it to myself. So it's really interesting. Yeah. It's even listening to you now, it's like an aha moment. I'm like, oh, maybe I should be doing that. That makes so much sense. So absolutely, that's beautiful. Meditation, I agree, is really a great way to, I guess, get a good perspective of the physical life that we are in. I try to incorporate gratitude into my meditation and readings, for that matter. Whenever I give a reading, I try and feel that emotion of gratitude. I feel like that really opens me up.
Yes. I got a call from my son's school because he's homesick and I forgot to tell. So that's why I was looking down at my phone. So I just sent them a quick email. He's home with a cold. So, and I forgot to let them know. So it's good to know that they have tabs on him and they're phoning me to wonder where he is.
That is great.
So excuse
Shame,
me.
I hope he's feeling well. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's okay. He's watching Back to the Future.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah,
I love that.
I caught some glimpses of it and I was like, wow, this holds up. I love this.
It is a great one.
Yeah. And some of the concepts of space-time continuum and all that, it can be quite spiritual, actually. We had some good conversations about it already. And Doc Brown's name is Emmett and my son's name is Emmett. So he was like,
I love that.
One minute. Anyway, sorry to get drawn away there for a second.
No.
What you were saying about readings, that is, you know what? That is part of my spiritual practice as well. And part of how I learn, really just how I learn about spirit and the spirit world. And I think it is the best way to learn for me about spirit guides, about angels, about how spirit works when we leave our body and are on the other side. Of course, it's just a tiny fraction of all of the knowledge that I could have one day, maybe, but I learn so much from it. And I feel like this feeling that I can't replicate anywhere but when I'm connecting to spirit. It's amazing. I just did that yesterday and I connected with a spirit, a departed loved one from the sitter who I was working with, and I felt almost like liquid love, like golden liquid love was like enveloping me, and I can't say I've ever felt something like that before. So yeah, it's important for me to do as well, and part of my life that I'll keep, definitely, I think.
That's beautiful. It is. It's. I feel like once you build these bonds and they get stronger, you can really feel the love that is behind those connections. It's a different type of a love. It's you just, it's such a unconditional love. It's so incredibly beautiful. I feel like as physical beings, we often know love as a physical type of a connection. And there's so much more to our energy and this unconditional love. And whether you say the universe or God or the creator, whoever that power is above us, the higher self, there is nothing that is less judgmental and more loving, in my experience, than that. It is a fuel that helps connect and drive and further the lessons in life. And that beautiful, warm, liquid love, how you explained it there, that sounds incredible. I totally get that. It's like a being washed over with like a white, bright light. Mm-hmm. It is incredible.
Yeah, and I have only got it when connecting to the spirit side. I guess, yeah, being kind of outside of my body. I mean, I've come close in my life, my physical life, but I've only really got this feeling when not just doing readings, but also deep meditation, feeling the presence of angels in group meditation work and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And this, I think, honestly, I don't push people to go a certain route. But I always feel like I've experienced so much amazingness with it that I really hope people find that too, because it's something, just for a second, imagine navigating your life without this. Imagine not tapping into the universe or not realizing how much unconditional love is out there. You know, and I'm not one who's going to jump into religion, because I feel like religion and spirituality are two completely separate things. But I believe having faith in whatever it might be is really important versus not having faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like, to put in layman terms, like something's got your back. And from my experience in spirituality, is I always feel like my back is got by such a divine and beautiful and unconditional, unjudgmental love from the universe. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Not to get into a religion, I think faith and religion can live together in some people, 100%. But the two are different, spirituality and religion. But I feel like I just had this moment too where you're talking about faith, and it's almost like it's the tether. It's the guideline that is still connecting us. And if we don't have that and we're not trying to see the magic in the universe and understanding, yes, I am held, I am supported, I'm not alone. It's almost like that tether is cut, even though it isn't. And we're just feeling so isolated, right? Do you know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely. I agree 1,000,000,000%. The trusting the universe. And I agree that it feels like it's severed, that tie, but it's not. It's a boundary that we've set up for ourselves. And again, another lesson that we need to learn and to accept. So the universe will give us that space that we require to learn the lesson, and it will be there watching, waiting, and supporting as needed. So I definitely feel like
it can take lifetimes to get
it can
really get that one. Yeah,
absolutely. And I feel even within one lifetime you might experience it and lose it, and vice versa. You know, I'd mentioned earlier that I've had numerous what I feel like are awakenings. I know I've had one really big one. For me, one of my life lessons is learning balance. I'm trying to balance family, work, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, like all these things, right? And I feel like I'm no different to anyone else there. So for me, trying to balance, I enjoy working. I do. I love the engagement of people. I love what I do, which is design and a creative side of my life. It's expression. And obviously I've got my incredible family, my husband, my son. Everyone around me is amazing. And I just love all the lessons. Even the people that I struggle to see eye to eye with, I still love them on a deeper level, because the people that you do struggle with are sometimes your best teachers. It teaches you not only about the situation, it teaches about yourself and how you handle that. Mm-hmm. Which I really appreciate. Now, going back to my awakenings, I constantly feel I've got my spiritual side I'm developing. And then I'm like, well, what about my creative and my design side? Maybe I should focus on that. Mm-hmm. I'm also ADHD diagnosed, yay, which I find really helps me to navigate. And I feel like I can do this and this and this at the same time. But in reality, I do tend to put things on the back burner here and focus more here. So in my life, I am trying to find that balance. And I feel like every time I have this awakening, it's when I come back to the spirit side of things. Mm-hmm. So I feel maybe everyone is in a, well, not everyone, but lots of people are in a similar boat where they feel like they're going up and down and up and down. Yep. It's where your focus is.
Yep, it is. And it's what's going on in your life, you know, around you. And I think once you've had that first initial experience of what people call an awakening or an understanding, a deeper understanding of this whole game called life, once you've had that for the first time, you can't really put the toothpaste back in the tube. That's what I like to say. You know, it's
absolutely,
it's always gonna be there. Now it's just that you do have an up and down, 100%. It's not all up from there, like it's made to look a lot of times. It's woo, right. You're on a roller coaster still. It's just that you are more awake to the universe, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think once you've had this realization that you're not navigating this life alone and that there is a higher power there to support you and your guides and your angels and your whoever it might be, your masters, the crossed over loved ones, whoever that might be there supporting you, once you've seen or felt or know that they are there with you, you can't dismiss that. You can't say, oh, well, that was another time of my life. They're no longer there. Mm-hmm. And even though you might feel that from time to time, it doesn't mean it takes it away. They are still there, still supporting, still loving, still watching, and still waiting for you to connect again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And yes, a lot of people listening are trying to develop their relationships with their guides or spirit team or their own psychic ability. And I just always want to reassure them that it's never constant. You know, I have a good relationship or, you know, a strong communicative relationship with one of my main guides. And it's not always like that. You know, it does ebb and flow. So I don't want people to think, oh, other people do it all the time. And that's not me. I don't think anybody is on this even keel. I really don't.
I agree. And honestly, if someone says that they are, I'd be very mindful of that person and probably keep my distance. Mm-hmm. Again, that's the ego talking, saying, mm-hmm. or at least alluding to the fact that they may be better than you. And in reality, we are all spiritual beings and we all on a different path, a different timeline of our physical human experience. Yeah. And it's not even just psychic awareness and psychic abilities and that constant connection. And I'll throw a name out there. If you look at someone like Eckhart Tolle, who I am bewildered with, I think he's incredible.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's on his game a lot, but he's also mm-hmm. human. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he has some days where he's not on. And not that he is a person who chases fame. He's one mm-hmm. of the few, I think, social media people out there mm-hmm. who lives his true life and doesn't follow the recognition part of it. It just happens to follow him.
Right.
I do feel that he lives a real life. And then you'll see other influencers, I guess, who are on this path, who try and make it feel like everything is love and light and everything goes right. Mm-hmm. On the other spectrum, you get a lot of people talking a lot about shadow work, which I do believe is important. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like a lot of their niche is one-sided. And again, I feel like there has to be a balance. There's nothing more jolting, at least in my experience, and to each their own, but to a spiritual guide or a guru or however they're perceived on the social media platforms saying, hello there, effer, like, you know, wake up and you go punch some throat chakras and, you know, it's like very jolting for me. Mm-hmm. And it's said in a non-judgmental way. It's more said in a way that this doesn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. And just because something is presented in a spiritual way, I've found that not everything is going to resonate with me. Again, different timelines, different paths, different mm-hmm. lessons. So just be mindful of who you're engaging with, who you're listening to, and does it really truly resonate with your pathway? And don't dismiss yourself as an important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Don't just think, okay, they're the spiritual guide person. They're constantly having these psychic visions. Why am I less than? Why am I not getting it? Don't compare yourself. Don't compete. A lot of those people who say that they are great are not great. They're just experiencing their own experience that they need to go through.
Mm-hmm. Very good point, Ty. I find that a lot of people get put up on pedestals and some of them are asking for it, definitely. And some of them aren't. I think we even have a, we have like a spiritual teacher in common. She no longer does that work. And, you know, I won't mention her name because of that, but she is a psychic medium and spiritual teacher. And I went to her first for meditation teaching. I think that's how we first connected, is that we both knew her. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know exactly who you're meaning, whether it's we're connected or we actually know this, that same person.
Yeah. On a pedestal, I think, by a lot of people. And I think, and I'd have to talk to her about this, but that is a lot of the reason why she stepped away from the work, is because of that feeling of having people just hang on to her every word and put her above them without her really even asking for that. I don't know if that is her experience, but that's kind of what I was reading into it a little bit. And I do see other people putting these spiritually knowledgeable teachers up on this big pedestal, and it's like something that happens that really isn't healthy.
Absolutely. And not to speak on her behalf, we went for a little walk on the beach. It was an amazing experience because I absolutely do adore her. She's great. She's actually helped me hone a lot of my own skills. I think, again, not speaking on her behalf, but I think what it is, and I feel this because I took a 2-year sabbatical from my readings. And during COVID, I didn't want to open myself up. It was really tricky. But I felt it was really important for people to try and figure it out themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to book a reading with a psychic or a medium and have someone else do the work. But a lot of the time, we can all access this information. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like not doing the work. So I know with my experience, which I think kind of relates to her experience, is it makes sense calling us a medium. We are the in-between. Mm-hmm. But it also robs that person of that connection with the universe, with developing that love and that connection. Exactly. So universe, God, creator, people can access this. And just like everyone has a stronger ability or a unique ability or a gift or whatever it might be, someone's a great singer, someone can play the piano, someone can do art or math or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. My gift is I can connect with the other side. I know things before they happen. And that's my gift that I can do well. But it doesn't mean I'm the only person that can do it. Mm-hmm. I believe everyone has that ability. But the more they start pulling on external sources, mm-hmm. the more they start relying on that and losing their own ability. Mm-hmm. So myself, I took my time away to protect myself during the world pandemic that was more jolting to the energy than anything else for me. And I feel that she was doing a service to others by separating and stepping down almost from what she did to create people connecting to their higher source, mm-hmm. Making people go that route, which I think honestly is a very noble and a beautiful way to do it.
Oh, so do I. And myself, I have struggled with this in, I love doing readings and I really love it for selfish reasons and for the purpose of helping people to connect with their loved ones or their higher self or whatever that reading brings. But I've never put out an official offering, and because I've always felt some kind of a weird feeling about it, a conflicted feeling. And when I really tuned in and sat with myself and thought, what is this? It was just that. It was, I don't really want to put that out as an offering. People come to me and that's wonderful and they ask me for it, and then I make it work for the most part for 90% of the people that come to me. And that is beautiful in how that works. I don't charge a certain fee. They they do send me an exchange, a monetary exchange after the reading's over, but I don't want that pressure on me or on other people. And I don't want people to constantly seek outside or be like, oh, my medium or my psychic who I see every 6 weeks or whatever, because that is effectively giving their power away. There's nothing wrong with getting readings, but to put all of your power into somebody else is what it's doing if you're too reliant on it. Do you know?
Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely. It's interesting. And I have done the readings because I wanted to experience what that was like. Mm-hmm. And the way I presented it is if it was meant to be, things would happen. And I got quite a few clients and I started to, it wasn't like I was advertising. It was more so by word of mouth, which also kind of becomes tricky because you almost feel obligated because you know so-and-so and they suggested so-and-so. Mm-hmm. There comes a part as well where it feels like you're getting robbed. And obviously I don't mean in a money type of a way. I mean, you feel like you're losing your own power to say yes or no. Something I need to work on, probably shouldn't be saying this on a podcast, but I struggle to say no if I see someone's in need, because I feel like I've got this ability to connect and share. But at the same time, I feel like I'm robbing them of that ability for them to connect and share. So it's such a kind of a weird love triangle, if you want to call it that, where you want to help, you're helping, but in helping, you're actually robbing. So it's the weirdest thing. And I don't ever go into my readings. Honestly, a lot of the readings I do, I'm like, I don't pay attention to what I'm saying. Everything comes through me. So there'll be little keywords that jump out and I stick with it. So I won't go into readings, but there is a person that has a scenario and they've gotten answers from me. But based on how I could do that, they keep on coming back.
Yeah.
And as a psychic or a medium or whatever reading you might be doing, I think it's very important to set those boundaries. It's incredibly hard sometimes to do that because, again, we want to help. We want to be there. But sometimes setting those boundaries is the helpful and the nice thing to do. So if you are doing readings and you have a repeat client or customer and you think that you're helping and you're giving them guidance, you just got to be mindful that sometimes if you're doing all the walking for them, they're going to lose their ability to walk for themselves. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that's not what we're here for.
Yeah. And that is a big part of why I am about empowering others to find their jam, basically. Like, what is it? How do they connect? How do they perceive spirit? Let's explore that. And that is kind of the route that I'm going to be going down whilst still doing readings just by word of mouth and not advertised and just who comes to me. But I really am drawn to teach people how to discover their latent abilities and not keep giving their power away to other people.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
So when did you move from South Africa to Canada?
Ooh. Well, I left South Africa in 2006. Mm-hmm. I'm a chef by trade and I was based out of Fort Lauderdale in the yachting industry. So the second I say that, everyone's like, oh, is it like that TV show?
Below Decks?
Yeah. It's very similar to that.
Really?
Let me just tell you, it's quite the human experience I went through. And I loved every second of it. I highly recommend. If any youth is listening and they're wondering what next steps to do, look at the yachting industry. It is a game changer.
And so you were a chef on board?
I was a chef on board. I saw the entire Bahamas and Caribbean.
Wow.
And I left because a new island, a new day, I wasn't even paying attention to where I was. I was taking everything for granted. It was overwhelming. I was everywhere and missing all this beauty because it was all blending in. Our yacht stopped at Yale Town in Canada. And I went up to Whistler for the weekend, and it was Mr. Gay Canada. And I was coming from archaic South Africa.
What is Mr. Gay Canada?
So it's basically like a beauty pageant, I would say, but a little bit more. It's you've got all these gay guys, and they're from different cities around Canada. And it's basically who, not just who's the prettiest, but who's the nicest of them all. It's kind of, it's kind of a strange event again, still very much in my physical human experience. I was blown away by a lot of the acceptance and the openness, and coming from South Africa, which can be an archaic way, and it just is the way it is, how it approaches diverse topics. At least when I was there, this was an eye-opener for me. So I remember saying to the universe, I was like, please, if this is meant to be, this country's incredible. Everyone is, and I know you do get your places which are less open in Canada, like everywhere in the world. But from what I'd experienced, that was so different. So next morning, going back to the yacht, and I stop at Starbucks, and in the line, I strike up this conversation. And it turns out that he's a GM for a restaurant that was opening up, and they're looking for chefs. And Whistler, being incredibly transient at the time, no one was willing to commit. So I told him, hey, listen, I'm a chef. I'd happily do that. He said he would do the paperwork for me. Wow. So the rest is history, yeah. So I did my immigration as a chef, and it was quite the experience. It's got me to where I am, I guess, in Canada. I'm now a citizen, and I love it. And the irony is my husband's an immigration lawyer, so I feel like this could have happened so much easier, but it didn't.
At the time.
You know what? I met him in 2009. So I was also a little bit stubborn, and I wanted to do this myself because I wanted to be, you know, the leader of my own destiny. I wanted to make sure that I came into the country by my own way. This is the earth sign Virgo for me. and I did it. So I was really happy. And yeah, the rest is history. I love South Africa. I miss it dearly. The animals, the people, the everything. It is in a little bit of a political struggle right now, but it is a beautiful country, and I do miss that connection. But Canada is just as beautiful and different, which I love.
Amazing. And talk about divine timing. When do you know, first came here, and then we're like, I love it here, and then met that guy who needed a chef. Like, it's all laid out. It is
It was perfect.
It's divine. Yeah. Amazing.
It's so weird because, a little bit ignorant, I guess, on my behalf here, I wasn't aware of how amazing Canada was. You know, especially growing up in South Africa, you always hear of the USA and the land of milk and honey. And the US, I mean, it's nice. It's got its pros. It's got its cons for sure. But I did a past life regression, and I remember seeing these beautiful golden hills, a river, and seeing some caribou and all of that. I was like, wow, that must be the US, because I felt a deeply strong indigenous connection to the land. And after arriving in Canada, I realized that this is the place that I was so deeply connected to. The soil is different. The land is different. It is, I feel like I've come home, so to say, in Canada.
Beautiful. So do you think that past life was as an Indigenous person in maybe
Absolutely.
Alberta, or where do you think?
You know, we did a road trip in about 2010. And I think we were driving through Golden or Revelstoke at the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there is a piece of land just before where the Rockies come up. Mm-hmm. And it's just open. And it literally, minus there weren't any caribou, there were some cows in the field, but exactly the golden grass, the mountains, the blue mountains in the background, the little stream even, mm-hmm. everything was there. It was such an awakening experience for me. I was like, wow, I've literally come home.
And did you get that resonance to that past life?
Absolutely. And even talking about it now, I still get goosebumps because it's so
goosebumps.
So deep for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I feel truly blessed and lucky to have found it and know that I found it, you know?
Ah, that's so beautiful. Okay, so I love that you did a past life regression. I want to ask you a little bit about that, but I'll just share as well. I had past life dreams when I was a kid. It was almost a recurring, only I would get, it was like a movie, I would get different scenes of this same day in different dreams for about a year until the point where I died. And I had that death dream at least 5 or 6 times. It was traumatic. And I feel like it was trauma being relived out. Like I had hung on to that trauma on a soul level of falling off a ladder in a market in some place in the Middle East. And I've been kind of obsessed with this ever since, not obsessed, but I've always had this in the back of my mind, like, oh, I wonder where that was. And, you know, I would even look at maps as a kid, like I'm talking a teenager, like 15 years old, I would be like, where was that past life? Not even realizing that that's kooky and weird, but I've always been the kooky weird one. And then I kind of honed in on an area that I think, oh, this must be it. And then just this week, my cousin, who is, what does he call himself now? A nomad. He just travels around the world, okay?
Beautiful.
So he texted me saying, hey, guess where I am? And I kind of got this feeling like, oh, he's near where I lived then in that life.
Wow.
And I just said, are you in Yemen? Because that's kind of where I thought maybe I lived, in Yemen. And he's like, next country over. You're very close, but I'm in Yemen.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. And
please show me like the landscape, show me like pictures. And right away he sent me a little video and it's the exact hills, like the exact, it's where I lived. And I was like, and I lived there so long ago that it doesn't look like that really as a city. It's ancient.
It's almost developed a little more. Yeah.
Yeah. But I had that resonance and I was like, there is a reason why he told me to guess where he is. Like, I know I had that there. And so for you to say that is the same thing, basically, is you experienced that only in the Kootenays and having never been there. And then you got to go there. And it's like, oh.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got goosebumps now listening to you. That's amazing. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Is. Yeah. I love that. So did you have a past life regression with somebody who did like hypnosis or?
So yeah, actually, I must have been, I'm trying to think of how old I was. I must have been about 13 because I've been that weird and kooky one again, seeing things,
too.
Knowing
this
things.
In South Africa.
In South Africa. And it's actually a family psychic, I guess, that we used to not see often, but see from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, and she's phenomenal, and she's since moved. But she's was really understanding, and she knew exactly who I was before I knew who I was, mm-hmm. which I found comfort in. Mm-hmm. But we did this kind of a deep, I guess, self-read hypnosis. And I went back and, you know, the whole that everyone changes their script on how they do past life regressions. But we did the whole, you go down into yourself. There's a room of mirrors and you walk through one of the mirrors and, you know, and there's a whole lead up to it. You find this key, you cross the river, and it's really fascinating when you cross a river. So here's something actually interesting as well. whether it's a dream or whatever it might be, they say crossing a river is usually a representation of the death. So if it's a big river, it's like a drawn out process. So if you, for example, say sick or what have you, mm-hmm. and you die of that, it's the river's wider. If it's quicker, crossing over experience, it's a shorter river. So anyways, the river that I was crossing, again, it's a lot for a 13-year-old to process, was a narrow stream. So I've always remembered that. So in my mind, at least, I'm constantly thinking, when I cross over, eventually it's going to be that short little journey for me, which is, it's interesting as a kid to try and process that. Now, I've got an 8-year-old, and he's on the spectrum. He has autism. So he has next to no filter, if any filter at all, which I guess I kind of do also possess the same skill. And we openly talk about death and the other side and crossing over. And he really shares the same interest because he sees things and also will know things without us even discussing it. Mm-hmm. So having that bond with him is quite beautiful. So if you have a kid or if you're young and you're listening to the podcast, there is no age limit to how old you should be before you start feeling and know these things. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, lots of people think, oh, when I'm 16 and I'm having this teenage experience of finding out who I am, that's where everything comes rushing in. It varies. You could be a 50-year-old person or you could be a 100-year-old person. Everyone's timeline is different. So mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's easier finding yourself a little bit earlier because then you can kind of make sense of it. But again, when the time is meant to be, it will happen.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I do find that actually a lot of kids are very, very open and receptive, and that kind of gets tampered down for a while until they are ready or until their life is such that it allows for a reopening.
Absolutely. I feel like, unfortunately, the way society is structured is, I feel like it might be getting a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But the second you don't fit into this box of how you should be as a kid, mm-hmm. you're considered weird or a freak or different. And those are such beautiful words to me because you don't want to be the same. Being different is where it's at. And you learn to accept that. And the sooner that you do learn to accept it, you realize that it's your power to own. And it's got nothing to do with society or even your family.